through our senses, by what's tangible and easy to comprehend. There are days when it seems we're going nowhere fast.
Trust your faith to show you the truth. Status is changing, there's no more declines. I'm on my way to better day.
Can you say that?
Hello, great listeners out there. My name is Akun Dayo, or Lauren Dari of RCCGD of Heaven, Olche Jos. You are your darling station, 93.7 FM. You know it is reading. Of course, you are here because your startup is making great progress, beautiful progress, steady progress, I must confess, by all means. Now, this is the young adult, singles and married. That means for you who are single out there, or you're married there, or you need to be reminded that you're married or single, whichever way, every 5:30 p.m. on this station is your delight. A topic for discourse today is why relationships fail. Why relationships fail. Married, not married, why relationships fail. Maybe between your boss, between subordinates, wherever they may be. There are several reasons why relationships fail. But my trust to God about you is that your own relationship will not fail. I discovered that no matter how good your intention is, it must be mutual for you to get the best from a relationship. Somebody say, well, and my intention is actually good. It's not good enough. Your intention may be good, but may not be good enough for you to get the best out of that particular relationship. So the first thing I want us to consider is selfishness. Selfishness. You must have heard it, but you never know it has to do with you. You probably thought it was about someone else, maybe about your spouse, would-be spouse, and stuff like that. Selfishness. Like I said earlier, good intention must be intentionally mutual. Good intention must be intentionally mutual. That is, it's not just about you, but about your neighbor. Not just about you, but about your friend. Not just about you, but about your intended spouse. So good intention, no matter how good this intention may be, it must be intentionally mutual among intended couples, which is why certain relationships don't seem to work. With good intention, you are looking for what to get. Majorly, with good intention, you are looking for what to get, and you are also looking for what to give. Because looking for what to give to the would-be spouse that without what to, looking for what to get from him or from her without what to give to him or to her can pose a very big problem. For example, if you look for the beauty that complements your ugliness, but not looking for who is interested in your shortcoming, that will be selfishness. Somebody just say, I see this dashing young man, dashing young lady. She's beautiful, he's handsome, but do you know if he's willing to put up with your ugliness? Maybe you might realize that I've said over and over here that there is no one that is truly ugly, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay? But it's also truly very, very important and crucial for you to know that somebody who can compliment what you have, somebody you are trying to compliment what he or she has, is of great importance. You remember that the Bible talks about whoever finds a wife, so is in finding. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22, whoever finds a wife is in finding. There are a lot of research that you might need to go through in finding. If it's about finding a wife, it must also be about discovering a husband. Every woman, like I said, it could be somebody's wife but may just not be your wife. He didn't say whoever finds a woman, but whoever finds a wife. And the Bible also talks about helpmate, or helpmate, as the case may be. The King James Version talks about helpmate, all right? A mate that will help you. So what are you doing and then who is willing to help you. One of our books is Vision and Mission. Okay, where are you going? Who is willing to join you in that wagon or in that car, in that vehicle? It's important. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, very, very crucial, you look at that. And then you look at verse 20, you saw that the man was doing something. Now, who is willing to go? That factor. A lion was there, an elephant was there. And there are people who represent a lot of things, but not your wife. People represent a lot of things, but not your husband. So there was a lion, there was an elephant, but none was good enough for this guy to be a wife. So selfishness pursues personal interest at the expense of a benefactor. You just want to get her. Maybe you like her waist, and then maybe, you know, you like his purse or his bank account. He's probably a bit fat, and you think that he wants to spend around. Selfishness. Have you bothered to find out whether this person is interested in your life, whether he wants to carry your burden? It is true that his shoulders are broad. It is true that he has everything you think you need. But is he willing to do all of that? If you don't take that into consideration, you just discover that you are very, very selfish, which is why we are considering that. This is why relationships fail abysmally. It fails abysmally. A selfish person is an epitome of parasitic element. In order to ruin the host, he doesn't care about the host, but he's just interested about the milk or the nutrient that he or she wants to drain. So are you selfish in spite of your personal good intention? Is your spouse selfish? This is why relationship fail. So you need to look into that aspect of your life. Number two, the second thing that makes relationships to fail is laziness. Okay, now it is not enough to have a mutual intention. Remember the first one when we are trying to describe, attempt to define what selfishness is all about. We said you should have a good intention towards another. We're also saying that it is not enough to have a mutual intention. The first one might be good intention, but is it mutual? The second one is, it's not even good enough to have mutual intention, but you need to work it out. Working it out is a different ball game. You have, both of you have mutual intention, but who is willing to work it out? Maybe severally as individual, collectively as a group. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 verse 12. It talks about work out your own salvation. That is your own marriage, your own relationship. Until you are ready to walk the walk, it won't work. And that's relationship. Until you are ready to walk the walk, it just won't work. And some people think that the mere fact that they have good intention towards each other will just make the relationship to work. No, sir. It won't work. Until you are ready to walk the walk, it just will not work. It is important you realize the idea about relationship. Your marriage will remain a mirage except you labor to enter into your rest. Some people just want to get into a place of rest. Amos chapter 6 verse 1 says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And then in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11, Hebrews 4 11, you are to labor in order to enter your rest. If you consider marriage to be some kind of rest, there are certain level of labor that should be given to it, which is why lazy people cannot enjoy good marriage. Lazy people cannot enjoy, whether it is the man that is lazy or the woman that is lazy, whichever one of them that appears to be lazy, none of them, you know, could make things work. So it's important we realize that some of these things just don't work because somebody give you a revelation, maybe your pastor, your imam, whoever you are, who could see into the future that you were not able to see. I gave you a revelation that both of you are good for each other. And of course, you have good intention for each other. Until you are able to work it out, it's going to be a big problem. Relationships, I discover, remain a ruin of vain investment because of laziness. You see that in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. Proverbs 12, verse 27. A lazy person may get a game, but won't roast it. And that's a wasted effort, you know. And if he gets to roast the game, He may even be looking for who will feed him. There are many adults who behave as babies that need to be spoon-fed in their life. So laziness is not the same as lacking in ideas or what to do or in energy or in capacity even. It is that you know so much, but we only do very little or nothing, as a matter of fact. So a minimal life could have optimal potentials that are never maximized. Many of us out there listening to me on the radio, young adult, singles and married, you discover that great potentials are hidden there in you. That's why they are called potentials, but they are never optimized, never maximized. I like to quickly talk to you about something crucial. Maybe it affects the world of ladies more often than not. I sure think so. Particularly those of you who are married, or you may not be married. Stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in deceit, secret, it can also be a problem. But listen to this. As part of what could help you avoid laziness is what I call tighten up. As a married woman, you need to tighten up the pathway so that the pathfinder can enjoy the fulfillment. And many of you will understand, some may not understand, but I'm sure at the end you will appreciate what I'm saying. There are several of you who are married there who need to tighten up. Let me make it clearer. In Matthew chapter 7, if you read verse 13 and 14, Matthew 7 verse 13 and 17 and 14, you remember it talks about the narrow way. He also talks about the broad path. The narrow way, the broad path. Okay, the narrower the road, maybe the more blissful is the destination. But it takes some kind of effort to follow the narrow path for you to enjoy the bliss and the beautiful thing. Now, this is the picture, or much more clearer. The wider the path, the more destructive the destination becomes. Some people don't get to learn this, and it becomes a big problem for them. That the wider the path, the more problematic the cruise, if you don't mind, or the drive, if you don't get to appreciate that. So what is the gist here? Instead of asking your husband to increase his nozzle size, now you are getting to appreciate where we are going. Instead of telling your husband to increase his nozzle size, simply tighten up the receptionist. For instance, having given birth to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as the case may be, because you are meant to occupy and then fill the earth and the rest of them. The hitherto narrow way can become a broad way, but you can tighten up. So stop being lazy. I'm sure some men will thank me for this, having to go to herbalists, go to doctors. Some of them are already getting worn out and then trying to loosen up because they just don't know what else to do. Now, you will see the instance. The Creator is conscious about what He did. For one, He made it what should make you good. And then in the process of time, out of laziness, you may just keep widening this issue and thinking that the nozzle should become bigger and extraordinarily large. No, let's work together. Rebuke that laziness, and then you just discover that your relationships will begin to excel and no longer fail. Number three, why do relationships fail? I call this inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. Now, everything must be under the raging control of moderation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Maybe quickly before I get into this number three, you know that somebody might say, I just too lazy to do exercise. No, this exercise will exercise your brain, will exercise your body, will exercise your mind, and everything around it will just get to work as expected. You get distracted in life because of certain issues around your relationship, but because you know where you are going, you refuse it, no matter how attractive those distractions may appear to be. You just don't allow it to happen. Because everybody has his own game, has his own medal, has his own gold is aspiring. Some people are looking for gold. Some other persons are looking for silver. Some people are not even looking for anything, as a matter of fact. And so if you wake up, this is why to somebody who is married to an older woman, maybe in their 50s, you can still be the best looking under 16 and look and giving what any 16-year-old person can give to a woman, to a man. Why? Because you are not just lazy. You need to wake up and rise up to your responsibility. I should balance it that your nozzle is not bigger than it used to be or than it is presently. It does not mean that you cannot make it work. Maybe the size is about 3 inch. Okay, 3 inch, yes. The 3 inch will still do a good job if you are not lazy. If it is 4 inch, it will still do a good job. Now, if it is 12 inch and you don't know what to do, you will have still a big problem, because the whole thing will find it challenging navigating through the rough roads of life. So let's move on to number three. Like I pointed out earlier, I said inordinate affection, and it's going to be a build up to all the things we have been saying. We have talked about selfishness, we've talked about laziness, and now inordinate affection. And you will remember I talked about it, intention. I talked about mutual intention, and then I talked about how you could work it out. Everything must be under the raging control. In Colossians chapter 3, if you look at verse 5 and 6, Colossians 3 verse 5 and 6, it talks about how we should do everything with moderation. So, inordinate affection attracts destruction of destiny from God. It don't matter how good your destiny, how laudable your destiny is, how awesome your destiny is. Inordinate affection can damage, can destroy beyond repairs. Even too much love is hatred of hypocrisy. So somebody say, can you love me too much? There's a way you could love someone too much. So whatever is too much is just too much and is bad enough. You must place your priority right. This is the message. This is the import. You must place your priority right and squarely too. Affection becomes inordinate when it loses sight of commonsensical etiquette or analysis. You subject everything to common sense. What is obvious? In every generation, in every culture, in every tradition, there are standards. What is okay by individuals? But somebody will say, well, what is sauce for the goose may not be sauce for the gander, but it ought to. There are standards that are commensurate, that are good for every individual. For instance, sex isn't a must male at every time. It should be a standard. Sexual pleasure is beautiful, is sweet, particularly among legitimate people, couple that are married, male and female. I must also confess quickly, sex is never a must male. There are factors that make you to exercise self-control and or, if you will, self-restraint in managing your desires towards the opposite sex. Even when the opposite sex is your spouse, is your wife, no problem. Is your husband, no problem. You've paid the dowry of your wife, no problem. Whoever paid, whichever. Okay, but there are factors that should make you, if you love her, you will exercise self-control. Somebody who is not feeling fine, for example, and you know she's not feeling fine, because there are ladies that get ill every evening. If it is not headache this evening, it will be stomach ache tomorrow evening, and then on and on for 1 week, for 2 weeks, you know, just keep playing the man and said, I'm not feeling good. Let's go to the hospital. I know I should be fine. After 3 weeks, I should be fine. Okay, we are not talking about that. We are talking about all things being equal. You wanted it badly. Maybe you actually traveled and you came back after some days and your wife said, I'm under the weather, I'm off color, I'm not feeling too well. And I said, you must feel well. No, sir, you can manage it. And depending on the level of libido, maybe to the woman, it's rather high, on the high side. And he said, no, you must do what you are expected to do. And the man is dying. If you truly love him, if you truly love her, you will exercise self-control. Of particular interest are those who are not even married, but who will go any length to satisfy their sexual orgy or sexual escapade, I must say, anytime and then anywhere. Don't allow your appetite to waste your destiny. Sometimes you could do it anyhow. The lady says, for example, even if you're married, says, okay, open the door. Once you are done, close the door. You don't enjoy it. Sex is meant to be enjoyed, not to be endured. Sex is an affair that takes you beyond happiness to a state of joy, a state of fulfillment. All right, you are ravished. You are everything in you is fulfilled, and your life is just better for it. So these are some of the reasons. I don't want to belabor you with too many things for today. Weakness, we should be continuing something deeper. But there are reasons why relationships fail. But if you look at these three things, your perspective is key. Your intention is key. All of these things are good, that they are mutual, also very well, okay? But you need to also find out, am I ready to labor in order to enter into my rest? That's why some people get into marriage and then they start up something that is called courtship. Courtship also, courtship should take you into your marriage, but some people won't do courtship until after marriage, and then it becomes a mirage. A lot of problems they get into because they never plan it so well. I believe God wants to help you. That's why your status is changing. Your level is moving to greater height. And somebody thinks, this marriage, this relationship is getting worse by the day. It might just be about you. It may not just be about you. It might just be about your spouse. It may not just be about your spouse. It might just be about both of you. And it may not just be about both of you alone. It might be certain external factors. Somebody say, no external factor, throw them into the lagoon and then you walk away. As you are getting to move on, those things are following you. You know, there are moments when there's what you call haunting shadows. When the scar actually hurts you more than the actual wound, because these things are not properly healed. So you need to get proper counseling so that your life can be better for it. Let me try to wrap up. You need to meditate on these three indispensable factors according to 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 15. These things I've just mentioned to us are indispensable factors. You can't do without them. You must be diligent. Do you see a man diligent in his business? Do you see a man diligent in his relationship? He will stand before kings. You know, he will not stand before mean men. So you need to be diligent. You need to work at it. You need to work a bit harder so that your life can be better. And the Bible said, where we quoted in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, so that your profiting can appear and not disappear. So that your profiting can appear. You've been laboring. Maybe you are not intentional about it. Maybe you are just being selfish. Maybe it is not mutually inclusive or exclusive, as the case may be. So all of these factors just need to be put in proper perspective. Who you listen to. Maybe you've been told in your home, men don't work in the kitchen, only women do that. Or you've been told, ladies only work, men don't work. Whatever you've been told. I remember I told us on this platform, young adult, that if you need a washing, somebody to be washing for you, you don't need a wife. You need a washing machine. If you need someone to be cooking for you, of course, you know what to do. It is out of love, mutual respect for one another, that some of these things can happen to you. Who says a wife should not wash? Who says a wife should not cook? But all of these things should emanate from intentional love for each other. And who says a man cannot cook? And who says a man cannot wash? You can do anything. If you could drive, have your digging deep regularly, and faith clinic, whatever it means to you now, go around Jerusalem, move into Samaria, and then get into uttermost part all of the time, what's wrong with your hands? Why can't you wash? But it should be developed out of mutual respect for one another. Thank you so much, very much, I must confess, for taking our time to listen on this radio. Until I come your way same time, you know it's 5:30 on this station, Rhythm 93.7 FM. You know I'm your regular host, Ekundayo Olorundare. Please, I would like to beg of you, keep making progress. But should you like to keep up before next time, you can like our Facebook page, Young Adults, Singles and Married. The Young Adults, Singles and Married, that's where we give you certain relationship gist that will help you forever. And if you want to join us this Sunday by 7:30 a.m. at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Dear of Heaven, number 14 Mission Road, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, D of Heaven, number 14 Mission Road, Hoshe, Jos. Please be my very guest so that you can optimize your life and then your future can be very bright. And you may also want to call me for counseling or for sponsorship. This program has blessed you and you want to see how you could partner with us. You can call this number 0065607693. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
There are days